Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and we'll be talking again this week about the Moscow protests and the police response, but also about Dmitry Medvedev's upcoming trip or scheduled trip to Turkmenistan, whose president has not been seen in public for weeks. My guest today did a great job last week, and he's back this time. RFERL senior correspondent Mike Eckel, still newly arrived in Prague. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me again, Steve.
All right. First, I want to talk briefly about Turkmenistan. Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev is scheduled to go there early next week, I think Sunday and Monday, for an economic forum on the Caspian Sea. Medvedev's office issued an announcement or a statement a few days ago saying that he plans to meet there with Turkmen President Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov. Now, Berdimuhamedov has not been seen in several weeks, I believe since early July. And there are rumors and speculation that he could be dead or in a coma, there's several other things that are being speculated about. There's been no clear indication either way, no statement certainly from the Turkmen government. And nothing that has kind of proved either way what his situation is. This economic forum, the Uzbek president's office also mentioned this forum in a statement last month, I think, that said that the two leaders, Mirziyoyev of Uzbekistan and Berdimuhamedov, had spoken by phone and that Mirziyoyev had mentioned this forum. And that Berdimuhamedov would be there, but that did not quash the rumors about what's going on with Berdimuhamedov. And in this case, the Medvedev's office said that Medvedev plans to meet with the Turkmen president on the sidelines of this forum. Obviously, this is a subject one doesn't want to speculate about too much. But Mike, I'm wondering what you think of the Russian government's statement about Medvedev's trip.
Well, I think the thing to note about Medvedev's statement is that it comes amid this kind of vacuum or semi-vacuum of information about Berdimuhamedov's condition. And, nature abhors a vacuum. And in this case, the vacuum is being filled with all sorts of rumors and speculation and arguably disinformation about Berdimuhamedov's actual condition. It's clear that the Uzbek president's statement, the birthday greetings, and now Medvedev's statement are aimed at sending a signal that things are going on just fine. Things all's well in Ashgabat. If you peel back the layers of the statement, you have to think, okay, so the Kremlin and Medvedev's office, the Russian government, they're acutely aware of this vacuum of information surrounding Berdimuhamedov. So by putting out a statement of this sort, Medvedev and the Russian government are saying, okay, Berdimuhamedov, we want to say that Berdimuhamedov is fine and we will be meeting with him at this economic forum. But Central Asia being what it is and Turkmenistan being what it is, Turkmenistan being one of the most closed and repressive societies in the world, with a government that is prone to all sorts of crazy messaging and misinformation and disinformation, this statement, I suspect, is just going to further add to the speculation about exactly what's going on. And, the proof will be in the pudding. That is, when the economic forum starts, who actually appears at the economic forum, who's shaking hands with the dignitaries as they arrive at the Ashgabat airport or whatever airport that everyone will be flying into, who's shaking hands. If it's Berdimuhamedov, then, then we've had a month, 6 weeks of unfounded rumors, and you know, we'll file that away in the under M for misinformation, perhaps. But if somebody else shows up and is shaking Medvedev's hand, or I believe the Azeri president Ilham Aliyev will be attending. I believe there are several other top regional leaders that will be attending. If somebody else is there, then that is a clear indication that Berdimuhamedov is not doing well, and that this person will be the likely successor to Berdimuhamedov when we finally get the official statement that he's dead. So, you know, long story short, Medvedev's statement is not convincing, and is not going to definitively put to rest the speculation about his condition. The last thought I'll say is last night, that is Sunday evening, Turkmen State TV had quite an extensive segment on Berdimuhamedov and showing all sorts of footage of him riding horses, examining exercise equipment, riding a bicycle, pretty stock footage for Turkmen State TV. However, there's no way for us to know when this footage was taken, the conditions under which it was shot, and there's nothing timely in any of the footage, of any of the subjects of the newscast. If Berdimuhamedov had come out and said, you know, I congratulate our leaders on the completion of a new Afghan pipeline, which was in fact completed last week, then we'd have a better indication that, you know, indeed this is a new newscast and Berdimuhamedov is in fact doing okay. We didn't see that. So with Medvedev's statement and now with this new newscast from Turkmen State TV, we're still left with all sorts of grasping at straws to find out exactly what is going on in Ashgabat.
Yeah, I agree. It's certainly the footage shown, I guess, last night doesn't prove anything. I mean, I'd just like to raise another, I think this occurred to me and I think some colleagues, another possible interpretation of the Russian government statement about Medvedev's trip might be that as kind of a prompt to the Turkmen government and Berdimuhamedov to kind of, you know, come out and say, look, you know, we're expecting to meet with you. So, you know, you better show your hand. On the other hand, if he's alive and well, or alive and is going to attend the forum, you know, it'll be play into Russia's hands that, you know, okay, we weren't worried. You media, you guys were speculating. You know, this is no good. And I think another message, a little bit maybe from Russia here is, well, you know, elected and appointed officials who are in power until it's clear that they're not. Yeah, I guess, as they say, time will tell on this issue.
The other thing to remember, and you sort of allude to it, is that, you know, Russia is arguably the biggest player, the biggest fish in this pond in Central Asia, and particularly in this where this economic forum is concerned. I believe Medvedev is again, there are heads of state attending, expected to attend, but, you know, Medvedev, as prime minister of Russia, he's probably the most important person to watch in his messaging before the forum and at the forum. And, you know, the Russians also don't want to be embarrassed by the Turkmens with all this. They don't want to be in a position of kind of being made a fool if there's some sort of weirdness going on behind the scenes in Ashgabat. So that's something to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on to the protests in Moscow. Now, it's kind of deja vu. On the 27th, there were more than 1,300 people detained at the protests in Moscow over the elections and the barring of independent and opposition candidates from the Moscow City Duma elections that are being held on September 8th. And then this past Saturday, on August 3rd, there were, I think OVD Info said, 1,001 people detained, almost as many, although there are certain indications that the number of people protesting may have been smaller. Certainly, you know, again, people were beaten. There's some sort of chilling images of people being beaten in the street, including people who said they were just walking down the street or bicycling. So, you know, this isn't going away. It's the August events this year for Russia. Next week, there's certainly no plans for the opposition and the people who are organizing protests to give in at this point. One of Alexei Navalny's aides, Leonid Volkov, is saying that there will be more protests, I believe August 10th and also maybe other dates, but that they are no longer going to seek permission from the authorities for a location and number of people, where they can have the demonstration. His argument is that the authorities have gone outside the law, so you know there's no point and no obligation to seek permission. The idea of seeking permission has always been a bit dubious disputed because the Constitution provides for free assembly. So a lot of opposition people think that the government is overdoing it when it forces people who want to demonstrate to seek a very specific permission. So anyway, Mike, what do you think about this plan? The protests aren't going away. They're keeping happening. The numbers are fairly large, but they're not in the hundreds of thousands. Certainly, how do you see this playing out in the future in these coming weeks?
Well, it's clear that the opposition activists, Volkov and Navalny's people and Sobol and a whole host of others are laying down a marker by saying, okay, we're not going to seek permission from the authorities. That could be considered provocative. That could be considered strategic. I would argue there's clearly a slow ratcheting up of tensions regarding behind the scenes. Obviously, there's tensions on the street. We're seeing people being frog marched into police vans and people being clobbered left, right, and center by the riot police and the Nazgvardia police officers. And this weekend we saw plenty of brutal scenes. We saw some really extraordinary scenes, just to highlight a couple. The one that really jumped out at me was the gentleman who was riding his bike in the vicinity of the protest and was, sort of rugby tackled, it looked like, by these helmeted police officers and, hammered with these truncheons as they tried to pull him off his bicycle and throw him into the police van. To be clear, the tension is out there on the streets and those images, they certainly don't make the Russian authorities look good. And I'm sure they're building sympathy for opposition protesters and the righteousness of their argument that, hey, we have the right to protest this. We have the right to take to the streets and the Constitution gives us that right. But as you refer to, the permission issue has been the tricky thing to dance around. And Volkov, by saying we're going to go out and we're not going to seek permission, they're clearly trying to force the authorities' hand. And if I had to speculate, I'd say it's not going to go well in terms of how the National Guard and the riot police respond. It's also a question of how it's received from the non-core members of the opposition. The question has always been, can the opposition, the sort of committed opposition, really build a critical mass of support outside of the— certainly outside of the, again, the core supporters, but also outside of Moscow. These events are all happening in Moscow. They're not happening in Novosibirsk and Tomsk and Irkutsk and Blagoveshchensk. So the opposition is really looking to build sympathy for their case and for their argument about the righteousness of their efforts. And you know, if they start doing things that could be portrayed as being illegal, then that kind of could undermine further efforts to attract support outside the core committed people of the opposition. So it's a provocative move, no question. We'll have to see what happens.
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. Certainly, the government is going to, you know, portray this as being illegal, and you know how that will play out is a little bit unclear. But and meanwhile, the government is also presumably will continue. You know, a lot of analysts say that the crackdowns and the violence have been aimed to dissuade people who are maybe on the fence or from coming out. Just making them think that it's not worth it. So that's presumably going to be their tactic going forward at this point, in my opinion.
It's worth remembering that what we're talking about here are not national elections, not even like regional elections. This is the Moscow City Duma. This is effectively the city council for Moscow. These are decidedly local elections.
Right.
But they're being clearly this is the tool. This is what the medium that the opposition are seeking to use to force the government's hand to say, hey, we have a right to do this. We have a right to ballot. We have a right to participate in these elections, and so let us go forward or else.
Yeah, I think the government, the Kremlin, may be wondering whether it's done the right thing in terms of making such a big deal out of these elections by cracking down so hard on the protests. But on the other hand, I think at this point, the Kremlin's going to think they don't want to like step back. So as you say, there's probably not that much good news on the horizon. All right, well, let's wrap it up there. I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out for my newsletter, The Week in Russia, which comes out on Fridays. Thanks for listening.